This Sunday Show with EPIC, the Irish Emigration Museum, an interactive journey that shows how a small island made a big impact on the world. EPICCHQ.com.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to The Sunday Show. Tonight I have a very special guest. He is the co-founder and CRO of Sport Endorse, a sport management company. Trevor Twomley, you are the Jerry Maguire of Ireland sports management agencies, are you? Show me the money.
That's right. Thanks for having me on, Ed. My friends call me Kerry Maguire because of my birthplace in Kerry and Tralee. Jerry Maguire would be a good movie, and what we do, we live that every day. We deal with athletes, companies, brands all over the world. Our marketplace is plus 6,500 athletes and companies now. We have some really good stuff happening this month. Robbie Henshaw is launching his TV campaign with AYA, which is AYA. It's a multivitamin, and they have an electrolyte brand as well. So we've plenty going on. Speakers, posts. You want to book an athlete for a content campaign, you want to book them as part of any marketing campaign, you come to Sport Endorse.
Yeah, I mean, I had the pleasure of having Nina Carberry on the show last year. She was the first female to win the Irish Grand National, I think, and she was a very amazing lady, wanted to Dancing with the Stars, and she's a model for fitness.
Yeah, so Nina has just gone strength to strength. I mean, post-career, we had her on Dancing with the Stars. She's a coach on Ireland's Fittest Families at the moment. She has her first book launched last year, a book about ponies, and her second book is launching next month. So Nina's great, and you might have seen as well Davy Russell. We have Davy Russell on Dancing with the Stars this year. He was on last Sunday. He did great. Seemed to have a bit of luck with getting jockeys on Dancing with the Stars, so we'll keep going.
Yeah.
And of course, Brian Cooper has joined us, a fellow Tralee man like myself. Brian is very popular also.
Go back to your name, Trevor Twomley, right? It doesn't sound like a typical Irish name. What's the origin of Twomley from Trevor Twomley from Tralee?
Trevor Twomley, Tralee, Sunday Tribune, all the T's. So my grandfather was from Dublin, North Great George's Street. The Twomleys came over to Ireland, I think, in the 1700s. And so we were from a place called Cheshire. I was talking to Emile Heskey recently and I said, we could be related, you know. All of the Twomleys from Cheshire in England, except, Premier League footballers live there, not us anymore. I think we might be in the graveyard. But Wicklow and then Kerry.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, I had the good fortune to meet you when you were working the Sunday Tribune. You were working there, you were head of sales. Remember the Tribune, a great newspaper, Matt Cooper.
The Reader Offers, Ed.
Yeah, Vincent Brown. Remember, it was the good old days. And then you went on from there, you were working, I think, and of course you were in Setanta Sports for 10 years, which was really a great success. Went on to be sold, you built it up to be sold off to Ayr, didn't you?
You know what, it was such a great journey. I think when someone came to me and said, listen, we're setting up an Ireland's first dedicated sports channel, I said, count me in. Had 15 great years there. Ayr bought it then and set up our own company, Sport Endorse. But what was great about Setanta was Setanta Sports at the time, that's where the entrepreneurial stuff happened. Like, they let you at it. The content would be on Premier League on Saturday, golf during the week, Champions League Tuesday, Wednesday, Europa League Thursday, and you just had to sell it, and it was brilliant, and there's some great stories. There's probably a whole show on Setanta, Ed, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the origin of it, when Mickey O'Rourke, the lads, they set it up, it was in a pub in Cricklewood, was it?
It was Cricklewood, yeah. They went into the English FA, I think, and said, can we have this game? They sold out, they said to the bar in Cricklewood, you take the bar and we'll take the door. And they've packed out at 1,200, 1,500 people in a hall in Cricklewood, and they were onto something.
You used to get great deals. I mean, you had the exclusivity on loads of stuff. Formula One, you had golf, you had great programs on it.
We had great programs, but I think it was exciting too. And I think brands and companies liked the idea of an Irish-owned sports channel. And it was completely entrepreneurial and new. So the novelty and even the business itself was so unique. And remember, they took on Rupert Murdoch in the UK, and they set up they sold a channel in America, and it's still going today. I mean, it's still going. It's a hugely successful Irish story, Irish company story in Setanta.
Yeah, it was great. I remember when the Giro d'Italia came to Northern Ireland and Ireland. Remember, it came into Dublin and went up to, and you were very forward thinking. I think it was one of the first programs that was ever made in Ireland about sort of like the Giro d'Italia and cycling, and it went out on Setanta, and it was a big success. It was brilliant.
You'd get a call from Mickey, and Mickey'd say, "What do you think about the Tour de France? I think it's great. Can you make X on it? Yeah, sure. Drive it on. Show it on the channel. There, we'll worry about it later." So that was par for the course. But content, live sport has always driven huge audiences, and that's what has stayed even today, even with all the fragmentation of audiences on radio, TV, online. live sport. People will watch it live, and that's the beauty about sport.
And your journey from there then, I suppose, Sport Endorsed, then you were your co-founder. How did that come about? Did you see a big gap in the market here?
Yeah, we talked about it for a while. We got an opportunity. Yes, we did talk about it for a while. We didn't think there was anything really significant in Ireland. 5% of all athletes around the world, Tom Brady's, Kylian Mbappe, they get all the money. There's 95% who struggle for the rest. We went out to target that 95%, and that's what we've done. In the end, the 5% come to you anyway because they see the amount of deals you're doing. But certainly that 95%, and we got an opportunity. A friend of mine I was in O'Brien's on Leeson Street, and he said to him, he was an accountant, he said, who was in my office today? And I grabbed him by the tie and I said, get me in front of him. And the following week, we presented our services to this athlete. Fast forward 3 months after pitching and getting this, what I would say, unheard of sponsorship for this athlete. We were ringside in Madison Square Garden with a sold out crowd and Michael Buffer calling out our sponsors' names and the TV commercials on 40 foot screens. And I just said, yeah, this is a really cool sport. Little did I know how hard it would be post that, but certainly we had a great start. And then athletes started coming to us pretty quickly. So after about 2 to 3 months, we had 100 athletes asking us to help them with commercial, sponsorship, endorsements, PR, contracts, everything. And we just kept going from there. And we've learned a lot in our 6 years in business. And now we're opening an office in New York. We're franchising. We're changing the platform into the German language, and we're opening an office in Frankfurt. We're in Cardiff next week presenting to 500 student athletes there. We're down in London meeting businesses. I was at Liam Brady's book launch. We're working with Liam on the speaker space too. So you name it, there isn't anybody that we haven't worked with and who we won't be working with in the future. They just keep coming in. We've 10, 12. Ludo, who just joined us from Martinique, he's a football agent. He has a basketballer signed from Panathinaikos. So we're pitching Puma in Greece at the moment. Sorry, he's from French, but he's playing in Greece. So we don't mind. Wherever there's a demand, wherever there's an athlete, there's a brand that wants them.
That's very interesting. I mean, you said Liam Brady there. I was listening to him. He was chatting the other day. We must get him on the show here about his journey, like when he started and then who he ended up with, like Juventus. I mean, it was incredible, like how he went to like this great heights. I mean, playing for this incredible team in Italy.
Yeah, he had a great left peg. And I was an Arsenal fan as a young guy. So when I met him in the Conrad before Christmas with his lovely wife, Sarah, I had a load of books for him to sign. And we were just talking about what work we were doing. And we'd done a work previous week. And I was like, I have the old, my mother, God rest her, she saved the old JVC jersey that's for me. And I went down, I found it in a box when I was 12 or 13, the JVC jersey. So I said, I have that JVC jersey. So before we start doing business, just to let you know, Liam, I'm a fan, and we get on great.
Brilliant. And I mean, in terms of, I suppose, do you sort of look at different markets when in Satanti, I mean, they used to show things like the NFL and the NHL and stuff that was very kind of boutique, I suppose, in a way it was kind of very niched as well.
Yeah.
Is there, I mean, there's so much out there, and America is such a market, isn't it?
What you'll find, and we talk about it every day, like if you're an athlete in New York and you're that in that 95%, there's a business in New York for you. There's not a business in Sweden for you. So sport is quite local, and it's local globally. And we're a local business, but we're global. And that's it. So if you're playing in Panathinaikos, I'll get brands in Panathinaikos to work with you. If you're playing college football in New York, I'll get brands to work for you there. So when you simplify it like that and you say, okay, if I'm an athlete in the UK, an Irish brand, unless they're launching in the UK, they're either going to be able to afford you. So it's quite simple if you kind of break it down by country and by athlete.
Yeah, and I mean, in terms of, I suppose, like, because sport, it has good publicity, sometimes bad press as well. Overall, I suppose, you know, with the Olympics, you hear about doping and cycling and all sorts of mad stuff. It's such a huge business now. But in terms of yourselves, it's not a very, I mean, you're not in a hugely competitive space here, are you? Because as you see, you've sort of carved a niche for yourselves.
Yeah. I mean, we started out the whole thing. It's our legacy business was representing athletes, and we still do that. I mean, that's a very strong core of our business. The marketplace itself, we are market leaders here. I think we're probably market leaders in the UK. We have more UK athletes on Sport Endorsed than we have Irish athletes, but that would be right because it's a bigger marketplace. We see them coming in the States. So I see the college athletes who are now allowed to get endorsements through NIL, which is name, image and likeness, through the NCAA ruling. And we see them coming in, and then we go, right, where are they based? They're in Georgia Tech. Can we get them athletes, get them sponsors down there? So, yeah, what we're doing is quite unique. What happened with the NIL was that was announcing and that was happening, but we were building our platform before it was announced. So we were doing deals for the 95% of athletes before this was ever announced. So we know everything there is to do and sell with an athlete. We know everything about them, image rights, monetizing them, where you want to put them, the length of those campaigns, what you pay more for, what you pay less for. that's our business. And then we transfer that onto the marketplace, and that's what we're scaling.
And do you, I mean, we saw the success of, I mean, darts became massive there, right, last week. I mean, the guy, wasn't that phenomenal?
That was Hearns, right? That was Eddie and his dad, Barry Hearn.
Yeah, but like 16.
Unbelievable what they've done to snooker and darts, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that 16-year-old guy, I mean, who was like, he nearly won the championship, Maisie Tatter, whatever his name is.
He just said post a match, I want to just get on my Xbox in the sitting room.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, once in a decade, people come along and 16 get into a final like that. But the darts cachet has grown tremendously to a certain audience. Wish them all the best with that.
And in Ireland here, right, is there any, I mean, in terms of our sports, I suppose we're great at rugby, we're great at certain things, maybe football not so good. We're good at cricket, apparently, which is interesting. Is there
the thing about football, Ed, is like we're big in, if you think, look at Ireland as a country, right? So most popular, most played is a cross between football, soccer and GAA. Rugby would be just slightly behind that. And then basketball, would you believe, is a highly played sport in this country, because we're a wet country. There's a hall in every school in the country and they go in and play basketball. It's one of those things. We're quite good at football now. And what you'll find is you'll have UK scouts all over Ireland looking at our Irish footballers because of Brexit. And we have a common rule, a common travel agreement from 1921 that allows our players go straight into Premier League clubs and English clubs as long as they're 18. So we're at an advantage, and St. Pat's are an amazing club. We work with St. Patrick's Athletic, and what they're doing, what Gareth and the team are doing there to drive that club and make their brand global is quite amazing. There's going to be some news coming out now in the next few hours about their trajectory. But you'll find that football, we have really good soccer players in this country, and there's a thing that we're not great, and maybe that's because of the Irish team failed recently, or not failed, but certainly they didn't compete like we wanted them to. But, you know, the football in this country is huge, and there's parks up and down the country playing soccer and pitches all over the country. So we're going really well, and we are the future is bright. Look at Evan Ferguson. Look what he's doing in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, I mean, you played a bit of GAA yourself. I mean, Kerry would, I suppose, know a thing or two about GAA, wouldn't they? Like, unfortunately, not great this year, but sure, next year is coming.
A sports fanatical in Kerry, and I remember being in Ardfert one time with my father, God rest him, and he said, looking around the bar here, and he was right, we're having lunch. And there was about 10 different screens on, and there was kids with hurls, basketballs, footballs, and everyone was watching the sport. So it's part of rural life, I think. We love sport in Kerry. We love sport in Ireland, let's be fair.
Brilliant. I'm talking to Trevor Twomley this evening. He's the co-founder and CRO of Sport Indoor, sport management agency. Now we're going to have a little break, and we're going to take a bit of music, and we'll be back after this. And you're very welcome back to the Sunday Show. Trevor, that was a lovely bit of music. Now, talking about music, I want to chat to you about your dad, Ken, who was actually a very famous musician here in Ireland. And a lot of people would have known him over the years. Could you tell us a little bit about him? He was a real character, wasn't he?
He was a real character. My father, Ken, yeah, he passed away in October. Yeah, he had a band called Jesse and the James Boys. And I think they were ahead of their time, really. Their music was really good. And they had hits. 82, 83, 84, they had six hits. Dropkick Me Jesus was one. Diane was another. My sister Linda was in a song with them as well, Daddy What If. So my kids can listen to that now, and they keep on play it on Spotify. But anyway, and I'm listening to it for 40 years, but there you go. Certainly he was a great character. You'd see him on the late in the 80s, back in TV Land and Tralee, when there was two channels. We were jealous of our cousins in Tipperary. They had the Beeb. But anyway, you'd see him winking into the camera. He winked at my brother Stuart. He said to him that day, I'll wink at you in the camera tonight. And he winked at him in the middle of his, at the end of the, he timed it perfect. He was a consummate professional. I remember him.
And he was very modest, wasn't he? Because, I mean, he knew like the likes of Luke Kelly and Dolores O'Riordan and even Roddy Drew. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, he was gas. Like, I'd come home and I'd, my friends up here in Dublin, they love Luke Kelly. Like, they think he's their Elvis. And I think Luke Kelly obviously is one of our best artists in the country. But I'd say, did you know Luke Kelly, Dad? You know? And he said, oh, yeah. I shared a train ride from Dublin to, we had a pint on the train and the bar on the train back then. I said, yeah, they were supporting us in the Glen Eagle. And I just thought that was amazing, like, that Luke Kelly and the Dubliners were supporting my father. And my mother also used to say they used to meet Ronnie Drew in Ballybunion, and they used to have great nights with them. So, yeah, and the other funny story with my dad was he used to go on the train journeys to Dublin, probably up to see me. And one day he was in a train with the Cranberries lead singer, Dolores O'Riordan, and she sat across him and she said, hi there, how are you? And he said, great, yeah. And they chatted all the way up. And she says, I know you, she said, you're a singer. And he said, that's right. She says, you sang in camp, in the Baron camp. That's right. And he said, I know you as well. And I can't really think of how I know you from, but that's okay. Yeah, I'm also an artist. Very good. And she got off the train in Limerick and they all came up to my dad saying, you don't realise that's the Doors from the Glanburys. He had no clue, but she knew my father.
Amazing. And did he always, was he always involved in music?
All his life, even when in the army, and he was in Cyprus and the Congo, he'd have the guitar and you see pictures of him in the army gear singing. He had a really nice tone to his voice, really a quality singer. Like even if you listen to his music now, you can hear that. And that music has been passed down. My brother sings, my sister Linda sings, and my brother Stuart plays the guitar and things like that. But certainly a very unique character, and we miss him very much, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Tralee, of course, is synonymous with lots of things, right? Like the Rose, I suppose, of Tralee would be one of them. I know that that's a very famous one. I mean, was it great fun growing up in Tralee? Like you were growing up in the 80s.
Fun and embarrassing and all the bits and bobs you can imagine. But great all the same. Toward the end, I used to bring my daughters, Aoife and Niamh, into him. And he'd know all the songs. I could play a Kris Kristofferson song. He'd know all the words, even though the dementia was fully advanced. And then I'd play his own song and I'd say, who's that? And he'd say, me, one of my hits. So, no, a great brain, great man, and a great musician.
Yeah, I'll have to listen to Jesse and the James Boys. Drop Kick Me Jesus. That was, well, I remember that very well. That was a great song. So, in terms of, Trevor, I suppose, getting back to the interesting business of sports management, is Ireland, in terms of when you're going out and you're like looking, scaling a look at the world, is America like where it's all at? Or is Europe, you know, in terms of percentages and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at America, there's 530,000 student athletes that can accept endorsements now. That's just every year that they come in and they come out. So it's just a huge marketplace. And that's one that we're working on for sure. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, America, if we can change, we've an option to change our marketplace into Spanish. We've Jorge working out of Spain. We've Ludo looking at the French markets. The DAC region is being set up as we speak. We're signing contracts right now. It depends. The demand. The demand will drive your business. If there's a demand for this type of thing in Germany, we'll operate in Germany. America is just such a market. You have to be careful that you don't overstretch yourself. So America, next up, USA.
It's brilliant. I mean, it's a great success story. Of course, we have the Ryder Cup coming on here now in 2026. We have Royal County Dublin again is going to be, I think the Open is going to be up there this year again. I think it's in September. Golf is a huge thing here in Ireland. Are you open to sort of all sort of different, any kind of sports, whatever they do?
Golfers are able to join. Every athlete in the world, as long as they're elite, they can join our platform. They can join Sport Endorse free. They can download the Sport Endorse app to their phone. On Apple or on Google or on Android, they can do it. Everyone's welcome. It's funny, the golfers you want, I talk about that local global thing. McIlroy teed off yesterday in Dubai, I think. And again, he's a global superstar. But golfers are always on the move. So you want him to do content, you want him to turn up for a shop opening or a speech, I'm in San Francisco. So it's a bit more tricky. But the big brands would look at, the top 5% there, and the rest of them need to know about Sport Endorse.
If you tell us a bit about some of your successes, I mean, I know boxing is a big thing for you. You've been involved in promoting a good few boxers as well, haven't you? And I know you've been over in America and at the matches. That must be incredibly exciting, is it?
We've been to a world title fight with Jason Quigley. We still represent Jason Quigley. We were at his world title fight in New Hampshire a couple of years ago. All of this stuff is fun, right? That's the fun part of the job. You get to travel and meet people and meet your sponsors and meet your clients and make contacts. And that's the best. We enjoy that. Jason Quigley lost that fight, unfortunately, but he's back now. He's a couple of fights this year. And who knows, he might be on the Katie Taylor card.
So in terms of, like, I mean, what we've seen over the last few years, I suppose, is the incredible success of female football and women's football, should I say. What do you count that for? Incredible, isn't it? I mean, it's not before time, of course.
No. Three daughters, two sisters, nieces.
They're all in training. They're all in training at the moment.
I'm happy whatever they do. But I think female sport has been at its peak. Look at the success of the Irish team. Amber Barrett scoring that wonderful goal to get them into the World Cup. We're working with the Kerry senior ladies at the moment. We worked with Shelburne ladies. It's unbelievable. It's great. I think there was 47,000 people at the cup final this year between Shelburne and Athlone, which Athlone won. Long overdue that we start watching females playing sport. Every day we've children aspiring to be a Katie Taylor or to be an Amber Barrett, and we should encourage that. It's only onwards and upwards for women in sport, 100%.
For years, there seemed to be, there was a big difference ever between, you know, salaries and men being paid more and women being paid more. It seems to be all changing now. Do you find that it's all changing?
It's changing. They're getting paid, 100%. They have a long way to go before it's parity. And the reality is there's billions in the Premier League and there's billions of people watching it. And as you know, in life and in business, the more people watching it, the more investment, the more money that goes to the players. And it's driven by by agents as well with the bigger players. But certainly, as long as we turn up to the sidelines, as long as we go to the matches, as long as we bring our children, as long as we get more involved in sport locally, that will grow. And eventually, you'll have, I mean, if you watch women's sport today, be it rugby, soccer, Gaelic football or camogie, it's very good. They train as hard as the men. The ladies, the Kerry team, that train just as hard as the Kerry senior men. We need to support it and get out there and support those teams.
No, absolutely. For years, I suppose, in Ireland here, we were kind of behind in terms of like facilities and training. Do you find that's changing now? I mean, is there money going in here now to the proper places in terms of for far encouraging that?
Yeah, look, there is. And again, there needs to be more. The beauty about all the media now, like the television, the online, the radio, there's every opportunity to promote sports. So that has to keep happening. And what you'll find with ladies' sports is the more people that watch it, the more attended, the more it's televised, the more investment that will go into it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's brilliant to see that as well. I suppose, Trevor, as well, sport is a great leveller, isn't it? Across all, I mean, in terms of like politics and stuff like that. It is something that really brings people together. And I think in Ireland, I think we kind of punch above our weight. I know we're talking about Katie Taylor there. Mm. I mean, Conor McGregor, I suppose, you know, incredible stuff the way that we've had this kind of an impact on the world for such a small country as well.
Amazing. We're a small country with a big heart, aren't we? And we've boxed well above our, right back to Jack Charlton years with the Irish team. No, we love it. Back to our passion, isn't it, for sport? And that's why we're so good at it. And we're some of the best boxers in the world we have. Best soccer players, footballers. We travel. We would travel to play sport in the Premier League. You've got unbelievable Irish footballers too. It's a unique country for its size. You're right. But you said box above its weight. That's a perfect way of saying it, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So for you now, the American office, that's amazing. I mean, Do you find that the challenges there now will be, I mean, in terms of, will you have to spend a lot of time there or how will that work?
We'll do a week a month for the first year. We were in New York before Christmas. I think we had 23 meetings in the space of 2.5-3 days. I think we speed dated them in one place. We just said, come all arrive here at this time. We just couldn't meet them all. The demand and the people who want us to succeed in America is really amazing. And they have a great mindset, the Americans, and the way they think. It's everything is can do. And they'd support you. And we're setting up the US entity and we're getting investment in and we're going to drive on, yeah.
I was looking at the app there, right? And I was thinking I'd sign up myself because I have a Kiley Cup medal from Prez in Cork. I played for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, what you find though, like we started off a sports agency and our name is Sport Endorse, but we've lots of other talent on there too who want to do kind of Instagram posts or speaking engagements and stuff like that. So you'll find presenters on there, radio presenters, TV presenters, it all falls under the umbrella if you want to promote yourself. Like, think of Sport Endorse as a shop window and companies sign in. Companies pay us a subscription to have access to this talent. And this is a shop window. It's like a cross between LinkedIn and Airbnb. Your profile sits up there. A company posts a job if they want you to do a post or a marketing campaign and you apply. You're on your phone. You're going for a run and you get a notification that the company or the brand wants you. So that's what we'd say to the talent. Look at it as a shop window and then the trading of that all takes place on the platform. Of course, if it gets into a bigger deal, I'll come in. If it gets into a larger summer, a year deal, and we'll start managing and monetizing that for them too.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, for yourself as well, I suppose you're quite a sporty guy as well. I mean, I don't think you've put on a pound since I know you about 20 years ago. You do a lot of sports and activities. Or you play golf. You do loads to keep busy. But the new year, I suppose, lots of new resolutions.
Yeah, well, I say to my daughter, say to me when I'm going out the door to the gym, Daddy, why are you going to the gym again? And I just say, I want to live longer for you.
To escape.
To live longer for you. So that's it. I enjoy the gym. I love sport, yeah. I love everything about sport, the winning, the losing, the atmosphere, the party, the pint when you're watching the game. I love all that as well. I go to the gym, yeah, 4 or 5 times a week. Really enjoy it. It's important to stay strong, I think.
No, absolutely. Going forward, I suppose, in terms of if people wanted to be part of it or sign up for the whole package, what is the procedure? What do you have to do?
Well, legally, you have to be 16 to join the Sport Endorse platform. If you're an athlete that's elite, and that's most people trying to get to the top of their game is elite, you can download the Sport Endorse app to your phone. You fill out your profile. We get you verified, put up your information, what you've achieved to date, where you're going, what your ambitions are, and most importantly, what you're going to do for the company that wants to book you. If that's an Instagram post or doing a Q&A or a speaking engagement or a marketing campaign, you put up your brief there of what you're going to do. You can upload videos. So instead of companies looking to see what you're like speaking in front of a camera, it's all there in front of the platform. And remember, the platform is everywhere. So brands can look at athletes in Dubai, they can look at athletes in America. If they want to cross book athletes in Ireland or the UK, they can do that. If they want to book athletes in America, they can do that too.
Well, listen, Trevor, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you this evening. It's a fascinating sort of a niche. It's a market that I didn't really know a lot about, but I think it's very interesting for people to hear how you're growing this whole sports management agency. And it seems that you're going from success to success. What has been, I was going to ask you, who was the biggest person you ever signed, but I won't ask you that because that wouldn't be very fair. But I believe there's a few big deals in the offing anyway.
I'm not going to give a name, but I could tell you I've worked with someone that played in the final of the World Cup football recently.
Nice, nice, nice. Brilliant. Well, that's great to know. Well, we'll find out, I'm sure, in due course. Anyway, Trevor Twomley, the CEO, or CRO, should I say, and co-founder of Sports Endorsed, thanks so much for talking to us on the Sunday show this evening.
Thanks, Ed.